like to introduce the members at your table.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. My name is Stephen Onstott, O-N-S-T-O-T. I'm with the firm of Burke, Williams & Sorensen, representing the Los Osos Community Services District. And to my right is Gregory Murphy, also the same firm, representing the CSD.
Okay, thank you. Okay, what I want to do, folks, so that everybody can see what's going to happen, is go over how we're going to handle the order of presentations. And we are going to early on go over and discuss preliminary procedural matters. And we've had a number of evidentiary objections and other types of objections that have been raised that need to be taken care of before we actually get into witnesses speaking. And it occurred to me, Dr. Bowker, I think maybe before we go any further, that if you would like to...
Make a statement
and then...
I live in Los Osos, but out of the prohibition zone. I do my shopping and so forth. So it's almost impossible for me to avoid what is called ex parte communications. And that's communications on an issue outside of a full quorum. So upon advice of legal counsel and staff, I'm recusing myself from this issue. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bowker. That means you'll be stepping down. All right.
Okay, what I'm looking for is... Better take your chair with you, Les.
Folks, our first witnesses were here, but I'm just going over the order that we're going to do these things. And I wanted people to know, because we may set some things that might be somewhat more time certain for some people, and I'd like everyone to know where we're headed and when they may be speaking, because we have different categories of presenters. The first group of people that are going to be addressing the board are going to be non-evidentiary comments by government agencies. And along with those presentations will be what we would consider a public comment, interested persons. And that'll be followed by presentation of evidence by the Water Board staff's prosecution team. We've estimated that time at 1 hour, and the previous group of speakers that I mentioned, the government public comment speakers, we've allocated about an hour and a half for that. And if people feel that, and I don't know how many speaker cards we have at this point, and Michael is going to have to tell me, we're just going to divide that number of speaker cards into the hour and a half, and that's how much time the public is going to be given. If people do not like that, they can discuss amongst themselves. If they know that their comments are going to be similar to others, the possibility of not... Excuse me. No one is required to present anything today from the public or interested persons. An hour and a half is plenty of time, in my opinion, for those comments to be presented to the board. If people feel they need more time than that, they don't have to speak, and that would allow other people with the same comments to have more time. That is up to you. An hour and a half is all that we're going to allot for that. An hour, as I said, for the prosecution team's case. Approximately a one-hour lunch break, probably starting at 1 o'clock. Within this time frame, we are going to probably take a break every hour and a half for about 15 minutes or so. When we return from lunch, we will have the Los Osos Community Services District put on its case, and we estimate that'll be about 2 hours of time. Up until the completion of the CSD's case, all of those comments are going to be incorporated automatically, and all that, any evidence that has been put into the record at that point will automatically be included in each of the individual hearings we will have for the individual property owners. I worked this out to try to facilitate the order of testimony and evidence to make it as workable as possible. Okay, where are we now, John? Okay, then after that point in time, we will have presentation of property-specific evidence with respect to the proposed cease and desist orders. We're estimating 15 minutes of time by the prosecution staff to only present property-specific information. We will then have the individual property owners with their presentation of evidence. We're estimating about 15 minutes of time for each of them. If any of the individual 45 property owners can make a case for needing additional time for specific issues that they feel is very important, the board will listen to that and consider whether additional time is warranted. We do encourage people to incorporate by reference comments and evidence made by previous speakers. We will then have cross-examination by designated parties. And that means the prosecution staff members, that means the CSD staff members, and that means the individual property owners. I don't know how long that'll take. We will see what happens. We will then have rebuttal testimony by these same designated parties, and then we will have closing arguments by these same parties. And the closing arguments will proceed by Water Board prosecution staff, followed by the Los Osos CSD staff, and then the individual property owners named in the proposed cease and desist orders. After that, we're then going to have board deliberation and consideration of the proposed orders in front of us. Okay, what's next? I don't know how many of you had a chance to review the notice that I'm reading from now. It did go out a week ago or 10 days ago, something like that. But there are issues that the board feels are relevant to what's happening today. This is not the same hearing that we had before where there was a administrative civil liability before us against the district. This is an entirely different hearing. The issues that were presented in that hearing are not necessarily relevant to what's being proposed as an enforcement item in this hearing. The first issue that we think is important is the following. Are persons who own or occupy each property, that is the persons named in the proposed cease and desist orders, discharging or threatening to discharge in violation of the Los Osos Baywood Park prohibition and the basin plan? The second issue is the following. Is the requirement for pumping or an alternative or equivalent corrective action in each proposed cease and desist order the appropriate remedy for violations of the prohibition. Specific circumstances of each discharge are relevant only to the remedy the board may adopt. If the board finds that violations are taking place or are threatening to take place, I encourage everybody to try to focus their comments to us on these issues. I'm not going to get in the way if you want to use up your time getting into other issues that you deem are important. I'll let that happen. But I'm not going to extend time so that you can incorporate and get into other areas. And a big area that is not at issue here as far as this board is concerned is the legality or the validity of the prohibition zone itself. If people feel that that should be challenged and that there is something wrong with it, there are other forms for that challenge to take place. It is not going to take place here at this hearing. Okay. Anything else you think? Okay. I anticipate that we're not going to complete all of these proposed CDOs today. I just don't think it's possible to do it. And I don't know how many we're going to get done. We're going to get some of them done. I just don't know what number we will complete. If we come to that point, then we will continue the hearing. There may be a subpanel of the board that is appointed to continue with that effort, or it may be the entire board of five. But I wanted you to know that I'm well aware that it's a daunting task to tackle all 45. I don't want to rush through going through these simply for the sake of completion. Okay, one thing I would like to know about, and this has to do with the individual property owners, if there are any of them that have any pressing health issues or child care issues or anything that we should consider in terms of how we want to prioritize the individual CDO hearings. And if you guys, if you could.
I pick up my daughter by 5, so that'd be great. I can do that before 5.
Okay, and your name, sir?
Shane Stoneman.
Okay.
Does hair loss count from this poll?
Well, if it did, I'm going to check in too.
You're looking like you're doing pretty good.
All right. Okay, wait, I just want to make sure we have that first individual. Mr., do you have him down? Okay. Anyone else that has any pressing issue? Yes, sir. Could you stand up and so we can hear you?
My name is Bill Moylan. I've arranged to go see my father, who's in Illinois. He's in a personal care facility. I'm leaving Monday. I'm going to be gone for a week. So if this hearing goes beyond the parameters of today, then I wouldn't be able to attend next week, and I definitely want to attend. So.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
He can have my chair.
Okay. Sir, why don't you come up here?
Well, I've got a special chair. I can't sit in those chairs more.
Can I move my chair?
Okay. Let's do. Do you have your chair with you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Is it okay if we roll it right up here?
Sure. Okay. Mr. Briggs.
Mr. Chairman, as of a few minutes ago, there were still about 10 chairs available out in the atrium area, and we are trying to bring some more chairs down. So,
okay. Well,
folks can use those chairs.
I understand we may have some designated parties that are standing. Yeah, okay. Well, can't we get those other chairs in here so at least the designated parties can have a seat?
Sure.
Okay. If you're a designated party and you're standing, would you raise your hand? One, two, three. You. Seven. Okay. Well, we're going to try to bring in chairs so that you have some place to sit.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm an ex-fireman, retired. I think this room is overloaded and we're violating the fire regulations of the city and the state. So I would ask that you address the overcrowding in this room. It's overloaded.
Mr. Briggs, what is the loading requirement for this room, and is that an issue? Okay. All right.
Maybe we need to just call a fire marshal over here.
To do what?
To do what?
Okay. Let's do this for starters. If there are people that aren't designated parties, I'm going to ask that you get up and go into the overflow room so that those people that are designated parties can have a seat. And I would like to then reduce the number down. I prefer that we not have anyone more than about a half dozen people standing. Do we have all seats taken up at this point in the audience? Okay, are there people that are non-designated parties sitting in the audience? Why don't you come to the microphone podium so I can hear, everybody can hear.
We have a party with us here, Lucianne Collins. She's nearly 80 years old and doesn't have a way to get back here if the hearings go past today. So she would like to be heard today.
Okay, and what is her last name?
Collin.
Collin.
That's 1036 is her number.
1036. Okay, we've been...
Thank you.
Mr. Briggs has informed me that the capacity for this room is 200 people, according to the fire marshal, and so he's taking a quick count right now to see if we're okay. Okay, 150 or 115? 150. So everything is... Okay, in terms of that. All right. Now, what we will do then, we're going to have Stoneman and Moylan and Collin. They're going to be put up in this priority But I've also decided to move two presenters up that had kind of more extensive and comprehensive comments and evidence. And they were Mr. Scheif and Dirk Garabarian. So they actually would be the first two that go, and then they will be followed by these three parties, and then we will proceed through alphabetically. That'll give people some idea as to when they may come up and when they may not come up. And to that regard, to the latter group, the latter half of the designated parties, the last, say, 20 or 25 or so, once you have heard all of the preliminary presentations, it may be that you want to leave and come back at about 4 o'clock or so. But I will leave that up to you. Okay, one thing I want to... why don't you come up here so we can all hear you? And then identify yourself.
I'm Beverly DeWitt Moylan, and my question is that my husband and I are designated parties, and it isn't clear whether we both have the opportunity to speak for 15 minutes or if only one of us has that opportunity or that we have to split that 15 minutes somehow.
It would be shared between the two of you.
I'm sorry?
It would be shared between the two of you.
Thank you.
Okay. I want to next address decorum. And everybody, those that were here for the ACL hearing, by and large, I think that the hearing went pretty well. I expect the same to happen today. We have many different points of view that have been expressed not only in front of the board but in the community. I want everybody to allow others to express themselves. I don't want to hear sniping or comments or sighs and things like that, not only because it's disrespectful to the speaker, and I don't frankly care which side you're on when I make these comments. It's distracting to me and the other board members. I want to focus on who is speaking to me. I don't want to be distracted by someone jumping up in the back of the room, raising placards, or trying to get my attention. I don't like that, and it's distracting. And cell phones. Yeah, let's take care of our cell phones and put them on vibrate or silent. And is Mr. Ricano here?
Yes.
Joey Ricano? He is. Okay. All right. Well, if he can hear me.
I'm here.
Okay. Hang on. Hang on. No photographs today. Okay. Good. Okay. And you.
Good.
I wish I looked as good as you do today, Mr. Ricano.
I did bring you our copies of the Constitution of the United States.
Okay. Well, I think I can get those online if I need to refer to them, but thank you for the offer anyway. You've been very good in terms of respecting decorum. I just didn't want you to be running up again and trying to take photos or distracting what's going on.
Right.
Okay. So if anyone has some burning comment to make when they hear a speaker give his or her presentation, please keep it to yourself, or if you can't do that, and I hear you start to express it, I'm going to ask you to leave the room. And if that doesn't help, then Officer Hedges is going to help me get that done. I don't think that's going to be necessary, but I don't want anyone to be surprised if it should come to that. Okay, we're now going to address some of the procedural objections and issues that have been raised. And the first one I want to address has to do with the three subpoenas that the CSD served and issued on Mr. Jeffries, myself, and Mr. Shallcross. So, Mr. Onstat, that they came from your office. Why don't you tell the board? I haven't seen anything in writing as to what the purpose is of the subpoenas. Are you trying to get the hearing officers to testify as witnesses in your case?
Well, Mr. Chair, there's no requirement that written explanations be served along with subpoenas, but as you know from the comments in our case, we raised due process objections based upon the comments at the ACL hearing that the three board members who were subpoenaed made, and we have the transcripts of those, basically concluding that the individual dischargers were liable for violating the basin plan. And the reason that the subpoenas were issued is that because of those comments, those three board members are material witnesses, and as such, we have both a legal and ethical obligation in defending our client, as well as the legal right to call material witnesses in our defense to further flesh out the extent of that perceived bias based upon the offer of proof of the transcript statements made by the three board members. That's the reason for the subpoenas.
So the issue is bias that
Correct.
You want to address. All right. Well, it's always appropriate to inquire into any bias of any hearing officer in any proceeding. I don't think it needs to be done with subpoenas. We have addressed it in other ways in other hearings, but I will have each of the board members, the other two and myself, give them the opportunity to address those issues and concerns as you have stated them. I have read through the transcript myself, and I can put my own comments in context to what was said. But I'll start with Mr. Shallcross, if you would like to address Mr. Onstad's concerns.
Sure. The main part of the statement that the CSD that I made, that the CSD seemed particularly concerned about, was, and I'm going to quote, "So hopefully going after individual dischargers may create the political will for something to happen in a reasonable amount of time." The CSD made a lot of this in their response about my comment on creating political will. I probably should have been clear when I made the statement. My concern was the possibility of a failed 218 vote if that was required, and also the Measure B requirement that the electorate be allowed to vote on any site of any project. And if you recall, I was concerned earlier in the hearing that this requirement of Measure B could result in a string of failed elections in which no site was ever voted or supported by the electorate. It was not expressing bias that the community take any particular path, but that, and quoting again, something happened in a reasonable amount of time. I have no bias in this matter against or for any party.
Mr. Jeffries? And by the way, do you have your subpoena?
Yes.
Why don't you hand it to me? Okay. Go ahead.
I don't know exactly what comments they were considering as biased, but let me just state for a fact that I don't live in the area. I don't have any bias one way or the other. I'm here to hear all the information that's provided to us, and I have no preceived notions or ideas of before coming to any of these hearings and how I will vote on which side or the other. You have to have an open mind when you're dealing with these types of issues, and you have to hear all the information before you can make up your mind. So I come with a clear conscience, I come with a clear mind, and at the previous hearing I did the same thing and I heard all the information, and I don't know exactly what phrase or comment that I made that would consider to be biased one way or the other.
Mr. Onstad, do you have any particular evidence or statements that this particular board member made that you're concerned about?
The general context in which the statements were made, as the chair will recall, was when after the board deliberated and came back with its decision on the ACL, basically the direction, if you read the transcripts as a whole, was this doesn't go far enough. We need the individuals. We need them to be held accountable. So while we did take some specific comments out of the transcript, if you view them as a whole and in the context of where we were going, at least it's our view that the clear import of the board in directing Mr. Briggs to initiate these prosecutions against these individual homeowners was because the board wanted them held accountable. And whether it's to increase the political will or some other specific comments, I understand the explanation for that. But before the board went into deliberations, there was no intent that at least was expressed to these 150 so people that they would be dragged before the board. When the board came back after deliberating, the clear direction to the board was get these people in the pipeline.
Well, let me offer my explanation for your concerns about my bias. And I read through the transcript of what I said, and I think what you're forgetting to publicly acknowledge, Mr. Onstad, is the role Mr. Seitz and yourself had at that hearing in suggesting that the proper individuals or entities for any enforcement action on discharge violations were the individual property owners themselves. That was not initiated by the board members, but it was simply a reaction to the evidence that we heard at that hearing. And the comments that I made and the exchange I had with Mr. Briggs was simply to tell him that appears to be the next step with this community. And I've read through my comments. I only directed him or asked him to go to the next step, which would be to look at individual enforcement actions and to tell us what he's got planned, if anything, when and how and what types of measures he had planned. I learned for the first time some of the information to those questions that I had. But in terms of those comments suggesting that I'm biased against these 45 individuals, I don't know any of them. I mean, I recognize Mr. Payne's name because he comes to the board a lot, so I know him, and then I think Mr. Sargent has been before us a couple of times. I don't know these individuals. I don't have any bias one way or the other. I'll tell you, Mr. Onstad, I have a lot of sympathy for them, and I don't relish or take any pleasure in the position that they have been put into because of circumstance. But I have not made up my mind as to what I'm going to do today because I haven't heard any oral testimony. I have reviewed and read all of the documents that have been presented to me. And based on that, I have some preliminary thoughts and opinions. But I haven't had a chance to deliberate with my fellow board members to see what their reactions are to the evidence and to come up with any type of appropriate remedy whatsoever. So I will ask Mr. Shallcross whether he feels that anything has happened with respect to himself that would preclude him from rendering a decision in this case in an unbiased fashion.
No, none at all.
And Mr. Jeffries, I ask you the same question.
No, I have no perceived conclusions till I hear all the evidence.
Okay, and that is my response to that question also. I will quash the subpoenas, Mr. Onstad, and we'll return them to you. Of course, that is something you can bring up on appeal if there is an appeal. Yeah, that is your right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Okay, now we have some other subpoenas that have been issued, and I want to address those issues at this point. The one that pops to mind is the individual that served Supervisor Bianchi with a subpoena here. Mr. Martin. Okay. That was you that served the subpoena or had it served?
I served it.
Okay. Could you come up to the podium and identify yourself?
Yes. My name is Elaine Watson.
Watson, okay.
Yes.
And can you tell me, and by the way, folks, I'm going to simplify this, I will consider that these subpoenas were validly issued because I think they would have been had these individuals come to the board and asked that they've been issued. So I'm not going to make a technical issue about that and say that they're quashed for that purpose, but I am going to find out what the reason is for your need for this particular witness.
This witness needed to hear Mrs. Bianchi's testimony, and I was asked to deliver the subpoena to her.
Oh, you're the process server. Okay. What I'm interested in, okay. Who is the individual that wanted it served?
Alan Martin.
Okay, where's Mr. Martin? Mr. Martin.
I'm right here.
Okay, could you come to the podium, sir?
I'd like to ask a brief question of you before you ask me a question, Mr. Chairman. Your board members, had they been sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them God?
Sir, we're not testifying today. That's the whole point of that.
Oh, I see.
We are hearing officers.
You were asking some questions of the board members. I don't know if they had been sworn in. That was my question.
Mr. Shawcross, do you affirm that what you said is the truth?
I so affirm.
Mr. Jeffries, do you affirm that the statement you made regarding your possible bias is true?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. And I affirm that same statement that I made earlier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Now, would you please tell us, Mr. Martin, the need for this particular witness that you've subpoenaed?
The need for these particular witnesses, that they're very key witnesses in the saga and what has brought this meeting to a head, Mr. Chairman. Okay. They have been critical players in bringing about this particular cease and desist order issue that is before you. They are top witnesses to these entire proceedings, Your Honor. And we have testimony. We have not only testimony, but we had evidence to present to you to corroborate that.
Well, I'd like you to give me an offer of proof as to specifically what Supervisor Bianchi is going to testify to that is relevant to the issues in this cease and desist order hearing.
You want me to present that to you at this particular time?
Yes, I want an offer of proof. I want to know more specifically what you think this witness is going to present for you and that any other witness could not present.
I have a voluminous file here, Mr. Chairman, to present to you regarding these three individuals. And it would take most of your morning for me to present most of the evidence that I have. I thought that was going to be done when the witnesses came to take the stand, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that would be the proper procedure when they come up to testify. And I can assure you that it's very relevant, it's very meaningful, and very supportive of our defense.
Well, when you mention that their testimony is important to lay out the saga of this. By saga, you're referring to the history that goes back 20, 25 years with the Los Osos wastewater situation. Is that what you are referring to?
I'm saying to the recent developments that have brought about what is happening here today, Mr. Chairman. We have corroborated proof that the key role that these people brought in bringing this disaster on the community of Los Osos. That we're here, which, you know, we feel, you know, we don't deserve. We feel we're not in violation of your order, and we're here to defend it. And we're going to defend it as best as we can, and we have enough testimony. Why you're questioning me about my witnesses, I find it very disturbing, because that will come out in the proceedings here, Mr. Chairman.
It's my role to also make these proceedings as efficient as possible. and to prevent duplication of testimony. And when it comes to elected officials, I want to know why you need Mrs. Bianchi to testify about whether your particular property is or is not violating the prohibition in the basin plan. Does she have testimony that's relevant to that issue?
Yes, we're talking about CDOs. Is that correct?
Okay. What do you think she's going to say? Have you talked to her about it?
No, I have not talked to her about it because I wanted it to come out in public, and I have evidence that I want to present to all the board members of her stance regarding, you know, the effectiveness of our septic tanks, Mr. Chairman. I have it in black and white in her testimony, you know, testifying and making it very relevant that our septic tanks, you know, would do the job very adequately, and that is our belief, and it was her belief, and we have evidence to present to support that stance that she took, okay. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Martin, I don't believe Mrs. Bianchi is a engineer or a soils expert, and she may have expressed an opinion at some point in the past. I don't know that that's critical for your case, or even relevant to the issues that are before you. Ms. McPherson, are you?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I feel intimidated by your requesting, you know, I brought a witness that I think is a very viable witness to these proceedings. Why there has been a push to make me declare the relevancy of her. I wouldn't have brought her here, and I'm not the only one of that opinion. We have several other people that are of the same opinion, Mr. Chairman, that she is a relevant witness to these proceedings. And I know she has power and influence. I know she's one of our supervisors, and I know that she's been criticized for, you know, neglecting the sources just at her convenience, you know, and I think that her testimony is very, very critical, and we will prove it as critical, Mr. Chairman.
Heaven forbid our supervisor be asked. How about a vote?
Okay, I asked for no public comments if you're not at the podium. Who just said that?
You got that there in the brown jacket.
Got where? The camera.
Sir, if you do that again, I'll ask you to leave the room. Please don't do it. Okay? All right. Mr. Martin, who are your other two witnesses that you've seen?
Jerry Gregory is another witness, and Pandora Nash Carner.
Okay. Do you need these witnesses for the same testimony as you need Mrs. Bianchi?
No. No, this is for different testimony.
Okay, and what is that?
The testimony is a relevancy of the fact that addressing Mr. Jerry Gregory, that he has, in many instances, proclaimed that we should be fined, that et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's been basically very deleterious to the community, to his fellow citizens, to the all the people that received the cease and desist orders, and to the community at large.
And is that what you need his testimony for?
That's part of it, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And what is the rest of his testimony going towards?
Excuse me for a second. Well, I think that we're looking at a real estate, so-called real estate expert. And I think that the harmful effects that he has helped to create on the community and on the values of Los Osos and on our own properties and our well-being have been very deleterious. And I intend to prove conclusively to every member of this board that he has been a part and parcel, you know, of the CDOs that we're, you know, receiving today. I think that we have enough proof between him and Mr. Briggs to substantiate our evidence.
And the last subpoena is issued to who?
Pandora Nash Carner. Okay. And if you ask me why we need her here, I think that would be a rather unwarranted question.
Well, tell me what her evidence is going to tend to prove or disprove.
I mean,
folks, I know that there's a lot of history here. No one on this board is stupid about that. But we're not going to open up the entire history of Los Osos and all the problems that it has shared as a community. It's not relevant to these cease and desist orders. If you feel that it is, you'll have the opportunity to take it up on appeal or present it in a different forum. It's not going to be presented here. Okay, as to Mr. Gregory's subpoena, I'm quashing. It's not relevant to what's going on today. I don't care about the comments people have made in the community about what we should or shouldn't do. It doesn't address the issues about the ongoing...
Even to Mr. Briggs, Mr. Chairman?
Well, you can ask Mr. Briggs anything you want
in
terms of the issues that are at stake here, definitely. But I don't see the need for that particular witness to be subpoenaed here.
That he's insisting that we be fined to the fullest?
You'll have your opportunity to cross-examine Mr. Briggs. You know, you'll have freedom there. Let's take the third one, Pandora Nash. Does Pandora Nash have any evidence as...
Mr. Chairman, can I ask you a question, if I may respectfully submit a question to you? Why are you questioning me about my witnesses? For what reason and what purpose? You haven't clarified that, Mr. Chairman.
Because I have the obligation to make sure that we don't have testimony and evidence being offered that is not relevant to the proceedings. A hearing officer always does that. There needs to be an offer of proof for everything that gets presented. In some cases, that evidence is self-evident as to what its relevancy is.
I thank you for your response.
Otherwise I would have 500 witnesses lined up to testify, and it would be cumulative, duplicative, and unnecessary to prove points that are in dispute.
Well, we didn't call 500 witnesses, and I just called three witnesses, and I believe in my honest heart, from my heart, that this is nothing but political pressure. But go ahead, Mr. Chairman. You
tell me about your last subpoena and why you need Pandora now. Is it just for the history of how we got to this point in time today? Or does Pandora Nash have testimony about the specifics of your property?
Okay, excuse me for a second.
Are you consulting with your attorney?
No, it's not assistant attorney.
Because I can't afford an attorney, and I do have an advisor who has been an advisor to all of us here, why we have the CDOs and why we are here. That is the reason why, you know, we feel that Pandora should be... Yeah, pardon me?
Why Pandora Nash would...
Yes, uh-huh.
I'm quashing that subpoena also.
Pardon me?
I'm quashing the third subpoena.
Well, I haven't told you that we have a document upon document in the fact that we feel that the Water Quality Control Board has been kowtowing, in other words, to Pandora Nash Carter, not to the community of Los Osos, and we have prima facie evidence coming, you know, reams of paperwork that show, you know, the deleterious effect that she has had on bringing these CDOs to the community that are so blatantly abusive of the community. And it seems like the Water Quality Control Board, you know, has been pandering to Pandora and not to the community of Los Osos in trying to help them solve their problems. Because I could go on, but I'm liable to lose my cool, Mr. Chairman, because, you know, I think that this woman has, from the very beginning, has wreaked havoc on this community. She lied to the community when the CSD was formed. She told us that a certain ponding solution...
Mr. Martin, I think you're making my point as to why I want to quash the subpoena, because that testimony is not relevant to the issues before us today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as to Supervisor Bianchi...
Mr. Chair, could I address that quickly? One thing is that in the caption of that subpoena, it also mentions William Moylan, so I don't know if you want to hear from him as well. The subpoena appears to be on behalf of Mr. Moylan also. Also, Supervisor Bianchi, I don't know if she's here, but she has the opportunity to make comments during the public comment part of the hearing, and the board will have the opportunity to ask her questions at that point, and perhaps you could rule after that.
That's right. I would not subject her to cross-examination. That's what I think Mr. Mark and the other designated party would like to do.
Right.
So at this point, I don't know. I'd like to hear from my colleagues as to what we should do about the first subpoena.
Mr. Chairman, could I, Wyatt Cash from the County Council's office, could I make a comment about...
Of course. Of course.
Get permission from the address of board on this comment.
All right. I would like to have permission for Gail McPherson to address the board after this gentleman gets through, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board. Thank you for allowing me to address this issue. The subpoena that is at issue was, as has just been pointed out, was issued by Mr. Alan Martin and Mr. William Moylan. And we join in the chairman's concern about the irrelevance of any testimony that Supervisor Bianchi could present. And I would point out, as I'm sure your board has noticed, that when you asked for an offer of proof, there was really no reason given other than some information about a statement perhaps that Supervisor Bianchi made about the adequacy of septic tanks. And if that's the only testimony that these parties expect to elicit, then I would say that it goes back to your Mr. Chairman's original comments that the justification for the prohibition order is not at relevance in this hearing, and we would ask you to quash the subpoena for those reasons.
Okay. If I could, I'd like to ask Supervisor Bianchi some questions, if she wouldn't mind coming to the podium. Good morning.
Good morning.
Supervisor, do you have any specific information about
do you,
the...
Do you want my name for the record?
Please.
Sure. Oh, okay. Is that better? Is that better, whoever said that? Okay. My name is Shirley Bianchi, District 2 County Supervisor.
Okay, and you're the supervisor for the Los Osos area?
Yes.
Okay. Mrs. Bianchi, do you know Mr. Martin?
I've known Mr. Martin casually for many years.
Okay. You know what? Do you affirm that the statements you're going to make today
yes.
are true and correct?
Yes.
Okay. You do know Mr. Martin?
I've known Mr. Martin casually. You know, we're not close friends, but I know who he is. He knows who I am. Okay. We've spoken upon occasion over the last 25, 30 years.
Okay. Have you been to his property?
No, I've never been to his house. I have no idea where he lives.
Okay. Do you have any information as to the specifics of his individual on-site disposal system?
None whatsoever.
Okay. And as for the other designated party, that's Mr. Moylan. Do you know Mr. Moylan?
I met Mr. Moylan for the first time this past Tuesday during our board meeting.
Have you ever been to his property in Los Osos?
No.
Do you have any specific knowledge or information with respect to the operation or maintenance of his on-site disposal system?
None whatsoever.
Okay.
Point of order. I'm sorry, I have a question.
In that case, I'm going to quash the subpoena for Mrs. Bianchi. However, Mrs. Bianchi, we do have a interested public speaking part of our proceeding today. If you care to address the board at that time, you're welcome to do that. But I don't see where your particular testimony is relevant to the issues that the board has defined as at issue here today.
I had not planned on making any comments. I've been here as an observer.
Okay. Well, I'm just suggesting if you wanted to, you could do that. Before I finalize that, I do want to hear from Mr. Martin And okay. I'd like to hear from Mr. Moylan.
I will go into the back of the room.
I have a point, because I have a question regarding...
Come up to the podium, please. You're Mr. Scheip?
Yes, my name is Robert Scheip. CDO number is 1024, the last four. I have a question because you continually say, does it have anything to do with his specific site? And my question is, are we individuals only going to be allowed to talk to our specific sites? Because I believe there are two parts to this. And one is, are CDOs the correct response from this board? And if that is one of the questions, then it is my belief that we should all be able to speak directly to whether or not the CDOs are applicable to us. And the point I'm trying to make is the prosecution staff in their documents have stated time and time again that there is no current project for a sewer in Los Osos as a part of the reason why they're undertaking this. And the history of Los Osos, especially the recent history, specifically addresses why we do not have a sewer project, and these people all specifically talk to that end.
I don't see how that's relevant to the second.
Okay, I understand, okay. Mr. Chair, I understand that. My question is, if it's not relevant, then I ask that you strike all comments made by the prosecution staff regarding the fact that we have no sewer system. Because if that is not relevant to the testimony, then that should be struck as well.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Let's get back to...
I'm sorry. Did you rule on that, Your Honor? Or I'm sorry. How should I address you, sir?
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Young is fine. But
okay.
Thank you for your comments. Please sit down. Mr. Martin, do you have any comments after Mrs. Bianchi spoke?
Yes, I do, Mr. Young, but I'd like to defer to Gail McPherson. I think she can probably elaborate. I don't have an attorney here, and she can probably elaborate better than I can. So with your kind permission, I'd like to have Gail McPherson address it.
Fine. Go ahead.
Gail McPherson, Los Osos. The reason that he's deferring to me is that there's many, many people who got CDOs that don't feel comfortable coming to a podium. I can't tell you that I feel any more comfortable standing before you, your smiling faces. And I think that it's important to note that throughout this process, I may be helping them and talking to them. There's nothing improper in that. We have an 80-year-old woman who doesn't speak very clear English, and so I'm going to be assisting, and I hope that that's going to be okay. I'm familiar with some of their conditions. I'm probably more familiar with their homes and conditions than Mr. Briggs or any of the staff, because they've never come to Mr. Martin's home or Mr. Moylan's home. Further, the documentation that we have is about why we don't have a sewer, and it's not about 30 years. It's about less than 30 days.
Okay, let's get back to where we were.
Where we were was on Miss Bianchi. She is material to that. The reason that we don't have a sewer is because of a failed compromise that Assemblyman Blakesley led, and she was part of why we don't have that. She sent documentation to discourage and actually quash a plant being placed out of town. And she sent letters on the county letterhead to that effect. And there's much information between the State Water Board and Ms. Bianchi and the other party that was subpoenaed. Now, the other people here, designated parties, also have witnesses that were not subpoenaed. They have a long list of them, and they were going to be calling them. And I don't know if you need a copy of that as well.
Right now I'm dealing with the three subpoenas before us. Mr. Moylan, would you like to address Mrs. Bianchi's comments?
Mrs. Bianchi's comments?
Yes. Supervisor Bianchi. In other words, the need to justify compelling her to appear as a witness in this proceeding.
Well, basically it's just that we would like to get the truth out.
The truth about what?
The truth about her role in quashing the sewer project after it was stopped and how it was quashed before it could be put outside of town.
Okay. Thank you for your comment.
But I have another comment, sir.
Yes.
You keep referring to, is this site-specific? Does Ms. Bianchi have anything site-specific? Has she ever been to your house? No. And so you want to quash her as a, or quash the subpoena of Ms. Bianchi and the other people, Jerry Gregory and Pandora Nash Carner. If you quash those subpoenas, sir, you're going to be eliminating a lot of the truth regarding the existing CDOs that we have, and it's relevant. It's absolutely relevant. Their testimony is relevant. And to do that, you wouldn't be giving us a fair hearing. And as far as site-specific, if everything is just site-specific, I don't believe that the board has any site-specific information on any of our septic systems. Is that true?
Well, that is part of what it...
Is that true, sir?
Okay. Ms. Tacker, I know you, and I can identify you. I don't want clapping either. This is not a athletic competition. This is what this hearing is about.
I know, and
for the prosecution team to make their case as to each individual property.
Well, then allow the people that are subpoenaed to speak and get the truth out.
I'm not. I'm quashing all three subpoenas.
Are you saying you don't want the truth to come out, sir?
I'm saying that the evidence that you think that they are going to offer at this hearing is not relevant to proving...
How can it be deemed relevant or irrelevant before it's heard, sir?
You've told me what you think...
I haven't told you what they're going to say. I don't know what they're going to say, but we need to hear what they're going to say.
Mr. Moylan, thank you for your comments. I've made my decision. The three subpoenas are quashed. If you disagree with it, you can take it up.
I disagree vehemently.
That's fine. You're entitled to do that.
I would like the truth to come out.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair, may I make a comment, please?
Yes.
The CSD, we did not issue the three subpoenas, but for the record, we would note that one of the considerations that this board is to make is the remedy. And it seems to us, based upon what was just said here, that the real estate person who would testify as to the decline in property values with attaching a CAO or cease and desist order to individual properties, especially as much as 150 of them, would want to be an impact that the board would want to consider in making its decision as to remedies or whether to issue a type of an enforcement order. So for that purpose, the CSD like to go on record as saying that we believe that information is relevant.
Well, and I